Morning, church. It was a little bit of a long reading, but it's important that we got that all in there. It's a very important scripture. But I'm going to start like this. There was a couple. They were out for a drive. Oh, good Mennonite couple. The man was driving. And they get pulled over by a police officer. And the officer comes up to the window and says to the husband, do you know why I pulled you over? And he says, no, why, officer? Because you were speeding. And the man says, wait a second, that's impossible. I had cruise control on 5 miles an hour less than the speed limit. There must be something wrong with your calibration on your radar gun. And as he continues his conversation with the police officer, the wife pipes up from the passenger seat, oh, don't lie. You know we don't have cruise control in this car. And he says to his wife, please, can you be quiet? To which she responds, it's a good thing that illegal radar detector went off. When it did, it could have been a lot worse. So the cop starts writing a second ticket for illegal radar detection. And as he's writing this ticket, he notices, wait a second, this man has his seatbelt undone. And he says, sir, I'm going to have to write you up for that. It's another $75 fine. And the man goes, but wait a second, I undid my seatbelt to reach in the glove compartment to get my license and registration out after you pulled me over. And to that, the wife says, come on, honey, don't lie. You never wear your seatbelt. You hate wearing a seatbelt. And to this, the man says, honey, would you please keep your mouth shut? And the officer looked over, really taken aback, and said, ma'am, does he always talk to you like this? No, only when he's been drinking, officer. So I'd like to start off with a short word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your presence here. I thank you that your word is life-changing. I thank you that you want us all to come closer to you. And today as we study your word and we get into this service, I just ask the Holy Spirit hover over us and keep us engaged and that hearts and minds be changed. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. When was the last time you took a critical look at your faith? When I say your faith, I'm not talking about your faith as in Christianity, but your faith as in your personal walk with God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. What for you is foundational, and what for you is peripheral? I started off today, I didn't start off today yet. I have to do this. Be prepared, I'm coming around. Okay, we're going to do a word association. I'm going to say Jesus, and you're going to say Jesus, and you're going to say
it's Lord.
Is Lord. See, that's good. Jesus is Lord. I'm going to say Jesus, and you're going to say?
Lord. Like a new association word?
Anything. When I say Jesus, what do you think comes to mind?
All powerful.
When I say Jesus, you say?
My Savior.
Your Savior. That's good. Jesus. And you say?
Christ.
Amen. Amen. Andrew. Jesus. And you say?
Messiah. That's the same as Christ.
It's all good. I say Jesus. Deb?
Love.
Love. That's a good one. Jesus.
Peace.
We'll have one more. Tim, Jesus.
Is my friend.
Is your friend. Okay, great. They're all the right answer. Don't worry. Wasn't a test. You're not failing. Everyone got it right. So I started off with that word association because I wanted you to see a truth that is pretty much universal amongst us all, as in humanity as a whole. It's partly human nature, and it's also a societal norm in our society. I'm going to call it this, the feel-good principle. There are TV shows and movies of every genre to make you feel good. There are commercials and advertisements that are created just to make you feel good. There is music to make you feel good, lists of food, incense, scented candles to make you feel good. We have masseuses, acupuncturists, chiropractors to make you feel good. There are concerts, symphonies, the ballet, all designed to make you feel good. So when it comes time to say goodbye to somebody, or when someone is gravely ill, or if someone passes away, it is normal, if not encouraged, for us to remember the good times, not the sickness, not the death, not the bad times. It's a defense mechanism. It's a survival instinct. We have this thing that is built into each one of us, and it's necessary Otherwise, in those situations of pain and stress, we end up shutting down and disassociating altogether. When we think of Jesus, we think things like Savior, Emmanuel, Love, Friend, Son of God, Healer, Vine, Shepherd, etc. And none of those things is wrong. These are things from his miracles, ministry, and his mission. What we tend to forget to mention, or what we miss altogether, is this most important facet of Jesus' life. And you know what that is? It's his death, Jesus crucified. Paul says, "For I determined to know nothing when I was among you but Jesus Christ and him crucified." Yes, you might have guessed it. This is a message about the cross. But this isn't some recycled Easter message. Did you know that there are over some 120 verses about the cross? Did you also know that those verses actually have references to two different and distinct crosses? Did you know that? Every one of us should. It's absolutely foundational to our faith walk. There's, of course, the cross of Jesus Christ. That's the one we celebrate. That's the one we relive on Easter and during communion. And Paul talks about this cross in the beginning verses of this morning's reading. He says it's foolishness to those who are perishing. Then he goes on to say it's both the power and wisdom of God. The power and wisdom. He understands the importance, the significance of the cross, and he wants you and I to get it too. I think most Christians who have been Christians for a while get it. They get what Paul is saying here. Which, of course, is a good thing, because it's really important for us to get this, that the cross of Jesus Christ is the power and wisdom of God. Power and wisdom. I want some of that in my witness, don't you? Power and wisdom. I want some of that in my testimony, don't you? Power and wisdom. I want some of that in my life, don't you? Who else here could use a bit of that wisdom and power in their lives? Look at the person sitting beside you and say, power and wisdom. Paul then goes on immediately after this to say what I believe to be one of the most profound and significant things in all of Paul's writings, and it's this. I determined to know nothing when I was among you but Jesus Christ and him crucified. What Paul is trying to get us to understand here is that everything else he had done up to this point was secondary to knowing Jesus Christ crucified. Knowing nothing but Jesus Christ is so much more than just a head knowledge. It's actually about trying to emulate the character of Christ, the cruciform Christ, the Christ that willingly died to save humanity. That's the Christ Paul chooses to imitate. And he says nothing less will do for him, and therefore the same is expected for us. This right here is that second cross I was talking about, which actually was first mentioned in Mark 8:34. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And almost identically in Luke 9, verse 23, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. You and I are called to deny ourselves and pick up our cross daily. The cross of Jesus Christ is something we relive together during Easter. The cross that we are called to carry is something more personal that we live out daily in our faith walks. Now, yes, we're called to do this daily, but daily doesn't mean that we live out every second of every day crucified. It more accurately is a call for us to spend some time each day crucified to self. It's about balance. Think about it this way. Jesus could have come, been baptized by John, the dove could have fallen on his head, God, this is my son who I'm well pleased. He could have got out of the water and went on to minister. Miracles, feeding the hungry, healing lepers. And he could have gone on till he was 80 doing this, recognizing every year sacrifice of sin. He could have died at 80, been risen again, but we would have no cross. There would be no power. There would be no redemption. We would just have Jesus doing miracles. And believe it or not, I believe that had we had this kind of Jesus, there wouldn't be an empty seat in the house. People would love to follow that kind of Jesus. There would be standing room only. But because there's no cross, no stumbling block for people. Now, that would still have left the sin problem, the separation from God. But it wouldn't have, like I said, the horrific message of the cross. Now, it could have gone down exactly the opposite way. Jesus could have went into the water, been baptized, a dove came down, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased, walked out of the water, been arrested right away and crucified. And I believe there wouldn't be a quarter of the people in this place, because we wouldn't have known him as the Son of God. We would have known him as some man that just got crucified. It's about balance, people. We need to know Jesus in his life and know Jesus in his death. Pick up your cross is a biblical phrase from the Gospels. That means to deny oneself and follow Jesus, which involves surrendering personal desires, embracing life's difficulties, and putting God at the center of one's life. It is a call to daily discipleship, where individuals willingly accept their unique burdens and challenges while relying on God's strength to navigate them. The key components of this phrase, pick up your cross, deny yourself. This means no longer making yourself the focus of your life, but instead making Jesus Christ the center of your thoughts and actions. It requires yielding your own will and desires to align with God's will. Take up your cross. This refers to embracing the difficulties and suffering that are part of life and that are often a consequence of following Jesus. It can mean willingly accepting your unique set of struggles, known as active crosses, chosen commitments, these things you choose, and also patiently accepting the passive crosses, the things that life throws at you, that are unchosen circumstances. Follow me. This signifies a commitment to live a life of obedience to Jesus Christ, responding to life's circumstances based on your relationship with him. It is a daily choice to follow his teachings. Common misunderstandings of pick up your cross? It's not only about physical suffering. The phrase is not simply about enduring any and all physical burdens, illnesses, or financial problems. That's not it. Not a life of sadness. It doesn't mean living a life that is inherently sad or defeated. Instead, it can lead to an abundant and victorious life by transforming difficulties. How do we live this out? By prioritizing God's will. Intentionally choose to put God's will ahead of your own personal desires. You have to embrace your circumstances. Whether a challenge is chosen or unchosen, engage with it by embracing it for Jesus' sake and with his strength. Rely on the Holy Spirit. This is important. Denying the flesh and its desires is not something you can do through your own effort. You need the power of the Holy Spirit to help you walk in God's ways. Maintain a determined mindset. Endure difficult situations with faith and a good attitude, knowing that a positive outcome is always possible. So, the year is 2009, and I was in my second year at Bible College at SBC, and it was Christmas break, and I decided I was going to go home to Ontario for Christmas break, and I took a bus. It was when Greyhound was still running. So I got on this Greyhound bus. It was the 23rd of December, and the bus broke down in a little truck stop just outside of Wawa, if I recall correctly. It was a small place, and this was a full bus because it was Christmas, and it was going to be 6 hours till the next bus came. So we were all making do. People were lying on the floor. There was people everywhere. And I sat down at a table and was reading my Bible. And I sat across from this family, a single mother with her 4 children. And, of course, the children are going to be children, and they're playing around on the table laughing and having fun, when all of a sudden one of them knocks over a plate, and it smashes on the ground. And all of a sudden there's silence in the whole place. And then the bus driver gets up and berates the mother and says, that should not happen. You should not have your kids act like that. And in fact, you're not going to be able to get on the bus when the next bus comes. You're going to have to find your own way home for Christmas. I heard this whole thing. And the thing is, I sat there for a good 10 minutes and kept my mouth shut and read the Bible. But then something welled up in my spirit and said I had to speak up. I was sitting across from the kids. I saw what happened. It was just an accident. Kids will be kids. They're playing. This is Christmas. How can you deny a single mother and her children to get on a bus? So I got up and I said my piece to the bus driver. I was very Christian about it, no swears. But I let him know that if he didn't lift his family on the bus, I wasn't getting on the bus either, and I was going to call Greyhound and let them know about it. So when the bus came, He had a change of heart, and he actually let this family on the bus. And so I went down, got home, and went about my Christmas break, and we came back to SBC in January, and it was Mission X2, and we were going up to the north, to reserves in the north. And so I don't know how they assign who goes where, but they assigned me to this place called York Landing. And it's through Split Lake and across an ice road, and it's a really small reservation. And so as we got there, we were looking to set up how we were going to do candies and games for the kids. And we went to school. The kids were in school, so we went to check out the gym, and we're just getting acclimated. When all of a sudden, I felt a tug on my shirt, and I looked over, and she's this young girl. She says, "Do you remember me?" And I kind of did, but I couldn't. She said, "I was the young girl in the bus stop that you stood up for my family." God works so miraculously when you just deny self. She came and spoke to us, and her whole family was there, and the whole reserve had heard about this story. So I had an in. My witnessing had already been done. What a great, incredible God we serve. Which Jesus are you choosing to imitate or emulate? Who do you know? Do you need more healing in your life? Deny yourself and pick up your cross. Do you need more peace in your life? Deny yourself and pick up your cross. Are you feeling lost? Are you feeling frustrated? Deny yourself and pick up your cross. Do you need more mercy in your life? Deny yourself and pick up your cross. Do you need to feel forgiven or forgive others? Deny yourself and pick up your cross. Do you need more power and wisdom? Deny yourself and pick up your cross. Do you need more Jesus? Deny yourself and pick up your cross. I pray that when I'm sitting in judgment before God, that I will be able to give an account of my life so simply with the words Paul speaks to the Corinthians. I determined to know nothing when I was among the people but Jesus Christ and him crucified. The power and wisdom of God. Let us pray. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you that you are ever present. Thank you that you are personal and close to each one of us, to each one of our hearts. We thank you for your word and that you communicate with us and that you're proud of us. You want us to do good and you want us to have this power and wisdom that you're offering, God. Just help us each day to see where we can deny ourselves and pick up our cross, to become closer to the crucified Christ, that we may get all the blessings that come with that. It may not feel so good sometimes. It may not feel right sometimes, but it is because Christ died on the cross for us. It is right for us to deny ourselves and pick up our cross daily. May we see when there are opportunities for us to do that, and may we not be scared, fearful, but be bold in taking those opportunities. Thank you for your word today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.